You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J., TCRG.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast if you're new, and welcome back if you are a returning listener. As usual, I'm your host, Courtney J., TCRG, and today's episode is a little bit different. I was asked by two of my good guy friends and fellow TCRGs to have a boys' version of the roundtable. And considering how many questions I've gotten about attracting boys, teaching boys, and all the different issues that come up around having boys in your studio, we thought it would be a good opportunity to get the topic started and start the conversation around this. And hopefully for anyone who has boys in their studio or would like to have male students and is having trouble getting them, this will be something that's helpful for you. And this is part one of two. And part two will be out next week, where we kind of dive into the issues that surround being a male teacher in 2019 and some of the things that go along with that. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. As usual, we will discuss it in our Facebook listeners only group, which you can find linked in the show notes. I've also included Ryan and Christian's Instagram handles in the show notes, and you can find them within our group in case you'd like to engage with them further after you listen. I know both of them would really support anyone, you know, reaching out for help or ideas or strategies that they might have based on their experience and based on what you get to hear in this episode. So we're really excited to bring this to you. It was really fun to record. We did it in person, the three of us, literally as a round table. So we hope that you guys enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. All right, everyone, welcome to the podcast. And today I'm joined with two of my good friends, Ryan McComb and Christian Caron. Say hi to the podcast.
How's it going?
Hello.
So both Ryan and Christian are teachers and former dancers within our community. But in case you don't know them, they're going to introduce themselves really quick.
So I'm Christian Caron. I danced for a long time. I was a competitive dancer for about 20 or 21 years. I sat and took my exam in 2017 and found out the beginning of 2018 that I passed and became a teacher. And then in 2019, I started teaching at School Rank Alumni with Courtney. And yeah, that's a little bit about myself. And Ryan.
And hello, I'm Ryan McComb. I am a teacher as well. Started dancing when I was 7 in the mid to late 90s, competitively in the Mid-Atlantic region, although I am now as a teacher affiliated with a school in the New England region. Although to be fair and honest, I teach less now that I have gotten my teachers. That was in 2015. I taught the Midwest for a couple of years as well. I am an occasional teacher today.
Perfect. So everyone can consider this the boys round table because Ryan asked if we would do one, and we ended up getting many, many topics together that I hope gives everyone some things to think about and just some different ideas, and hopefully we can come up with some solutions along the way. So a lot of them are topics relevant to teaching boys and what it's like being a male teacher in 2019, which obviously is not an experience that I have, but hopefully Ryan and Christian sharing their experiences helps other teachers out there. So the first topic that we came up with was the challenge of attracting boys to starting dancing. So, I mean, if you guys could even tell your stories of how you got into the crazy world.
Sure. You know, I started, as I mentioned, in 1996 or 1997, and I grew up in sort of the Yonkers, Bronx, New York area, where there was a lot of Irish dancing and still is to this day. There's something like 6 or 7 dancing schools in the Yonkers area. So it was always around. I had neighbors who did it, and both my brother and I saw it out and about at, the Yonkers Irish Festival and said, we want to try that. And my mother went and found a class, which was right up the block from where we lived at the time. But having gotten started, my brother backed out pretty quick. And, you know, I started in my, you know, we can talk more about kind of what my initial thoughts were going into the class. But within a short period of time had found a home in a studio with, among other things, a couple of more senior boys there as well. Some people to look up to, and stuck with it and have danced for a couple of different dancing schools since then. But I sometimes joke that I'm the last of the pre-Riverdance folks, in that Riverdance kind of hadn't hit officially, so I just picked it up from the community.
So kind of going off that a little bit, for my past experience, I am what I like to call more or less the Riverdance era style of dancer. My brother was the actual first dancer. He saw Riverdance on TV and told my mom that he wanted to do it. So hopping on that bandwagon, my mom brought him to class, and you know, I sat there and watched. At the end of class, I walked up to the teacher, as I was, I believe, 2 years old at the time, kind of tugged on her pant legs and was just saying, me turn, that I just really wanted to start doing it. And after being told I was a little too young, what I would do was every class I would stand in the background and just keep doing whatever was being taught in the class. And eventually, a year after me bugging her all the time, I was able to start the next year. So I believe it was the fall of 98 is when I started dancing. And kind of going off of what Ryan said, you know, my brother danced until he was a senior. So after high school, he finished. Unlike myself, through high school, through college, I kept it going. And, you know, it was absolutely an amazing experience. And I think leading into the topic we were talking about today, it's kind of how you get the guys into dancing, and then not only getting them in the door, but how to keep them in the door.
Yeah, and it's something that all studio owners out there can probably relate to. It's very hard to get boys to come in, and you guys both chose to come to dancing of your own free will, but sometimes it's the parent pushing, or sometimes boys just aren't sure because they want to see other boys in the class, which is something that Ryan can speak to.
That was absolutely my first question. You know, I had mentioned earlier that we had expressed interest in doing it, my brother and I, and my brother backed out pretty quick. And so it was kind of just me going in, and, you know, I was aware in my community that my community was a big sports community, and that being a male dancer was to be somewhat outside of the dream. And I said to my mom, like, I'll go still, but I'll only go if there's going to be other boys in the class. And as it turned out, there were other boys in the class, and I was able to go. But that was, even for me at 6 or 7 years old when I started, that was something that was of concern to me. And the thing now as a teacher that makes me think is that's probably pretty common.
It is. I hear it all the time.
But if you need to have one to have two or three or five or 10, they can't all be the first one. Yeah. If everybody wants another one, like how do you find the first one?
So, I mean, I can speak to it from the business end since I do the marketing and everything for the school. And I do try to include boys in all of my marketing campaigns that go online, like to make sure that there are photos of boys in class or at performances so that, you know, moms or even the kids that are looking at our, you know, content that's out there, they're like, oh, okay, like there are boys here. Maybe it's one in each picture, but like collectively they can see that they wouldn't be the only one. And I always make an effort to make sure that everything says like open to boys and girls. So that way people don't even just have the assumption that it's just for girls, because some people just have that assumption, even though we know it's not true.
I mean, kind of like how Ryan was saying, you know, he always wanted more boys in the class. I remember dancing, and there was a boy that was my age, and him and I competed, you know, at Feshes and everything together. So having him in class, it was actually, I feel, more beneficial for myself, because I looked at it as that was my competition in the classroom with me. So knowing that, I was able to kind of work with him and kind of, you know, even when I was younger, this was when I was novice prize winner, seeing how he was doing in class or what corrections he was getting, I was making sure at that point it was staying on top of it and being able to be like, all right, that's my competition. He's being told to fix this, fix that. I need to make sure I'm doing that too. But him and I grew up to be great friends too from it. And I think being a guy in this world, you make sure that you're friends with the other guys in the dance world, because it's predominantly female based, but at the end of the day, we know that there is a large male population in dancing as well.
And the funny thing about the male dancing population, of course, if you ask anyone on the street who's the only Irish dancer they've ever heard of,
good old Michael Flatley.
It's Michael Flatley. It's a male. Yeah. It's a male dancer, and yet there's still sort of the stigma, certainly for a kid, but even just for anyone in the community, that being a male dancer is weird. And without even saying much about whether that's right or wrong, I obviously believe that it's wrong. It's still there, and it was still even apparent to me as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, and even just very topically and current, there was the whole Good Morning America incident where, you know, one of the newscasters kind of projected that stigma, and although she had people promptly, you know, inform her of the reality that boys do dance, it's just, you know, people still think that, and obviously that's going to trickle down to the kids.
I mean, personally, I know after that had happened, there was the big movement of, you know, the hashtag boys dance too, which I know I took part in. And it was kind of nice to go back and look at all those old pictures of all those dance memories and be like, oh, wow, I forgot about that or forgot about this. One picture in particular was a picture from my very first World Championships in 2007. Worlds was happening in Glasgow that year. And I remember being younger and getting a lot of bullying comments from it, but at the end of the day, it's what I chose to do. But in Scotland, I decided that Worlds I was going to wear a kilt. So I still have the picture of me wearing the kilt. And I remember, you know, when people from school would see that picture, I would always get a lot of, you know, comments about it. But it was the culture, and that was something in my basis that I wanted to, you know, kind of take that culture into my own and, you know, respect it in that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, that thankfully is optional at this point, right? I think going in, if you would ask, you know, 7 or 10 or 12 year old me to wear a kilt, I actually probably would have said no. I applaud you for doing it.
Oh, I mean, if I walked in the first day and I was told you have to wear a kilt, I probably would have left. But it was knowing it was the first world, and I was like, you know what? Let's try it. Let's just see. Now, like, if you told me now I'd have to do it, I'm sorry, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, hard sell.
Yeah, absolutely a hard sell. But, you know, once you get in the door, too, and that is, by the way, one of the nice contributions, the lasting contributions of the Michael Flatley era, is that not only can men dance, but they can dance in more traditionally Western masculine garb, like pants and very puffy, shiny shirts, which have since become relatively ornate. But you had mentioned something really important earlier that I'd like to go back to, and I'm, you know, Courtney, I'm curious your thoughts on it too, which is, you know, you had said right away it was the camaraderie with the other guy in your studio. And certainly very early on, I was lucky to have enough boys that our studio had an all boys sort of catch-all advanced beginner novice prize winner class. And it was once a week, and it wasn't for necessarily a tremendous length of time. But it did allow all of us to form that camaraderie. And in a lot of ways, that at least allowed you to go, if someone says, well, like, hey, you know, guys don't do that, you look around, you're like, well, once a week I go to class with a whole bunch of other guys that do, I think you're just misinformed. It sort of gave me the ammunition as a kid to sort of fight back against that. And I think that was a tremendous thing that happened in my past that, you know, for you guys who are studio owners, to thinking about, hey, if you have enough boys, like, what are the ways to encourage boys to start to see it, as you had mentioned, a social activity, someone to push you along, and someone else to, by the way, lean on when invariably, like, look, middle schoolers are brutal at everything. Dancing is just one particular target. It's not like, you know, bullying happens for only dancing. But if you have someone else there to stand with you, it makes it that much easier. Hence sort of my feeling that, like, hey, if there's someone else there, I'm on board.
Yeah, totally agree. And it is something that I have done in the studio, not recently, but a couple years back. I did an open class where a lot of, like, younger siblings who are boys came to try it out. And it was kind of like a, here's your introductory first lesson, but it's only open to boys, in the attempt of, hey, you won't be the only one, so come and do it, give it a try, see if you like it. But I think it's awesome to do year round if you can. Not all of our boys are in the same class, so it would be nice for them to get together more. But something that Christian and I both see as a positive is, obviously, we have a male teacher coming in now, and now they at least have a male role model to look to, and they can see, like, all right, well, he survived. He made it through those hard years.
Yeah, there's quote unquote light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. And that he could go on and do so many great things with his dancing. You know, if they're willing to stick it out and do the work, then they can have that too.
I mean, kind of what Ryan, you were saying with the bullying aspect as well is, luckily for me, I went to a Catholic grammar school. So I had the same 20 kids from kindergarten to eighth grade, that by the end of eighth grade, we were literally brother and sister, you know? So everybody knew what everybody was doing in class. You know, one kid was doing baseball, this kid was on the basketball team, and I was the dancer. And everybody loved it. They would, you know, St. Patrick's Day, I would always put on a performance at the school or something like that. But my real first, you know, encounter with the bullying happened when I went to high school, and it was a public high school, when people found out about it. You know, I got a lot of bullying for that. And, you know, it was kind of hard, but I would go to dance class and I would be talking with the guys that were at class, and we would be able to kind of talk it out together. And, you know, we realized why we started dancing is because we love this, and it's not necessarily what anybody else's opinion is. It's at the end of the day, what we feel about dancing. And that's why, you know, we stuck through it for all the years we have.
I mean, and Ryan, you were talking earlier about how, you know, once you get through those hard years, it becomes kind of a cool, you know, interesting fact about yourself that everyone's suddenly so into.
It does. And I laugh because my job at this point in outside of dancing is basically to give seminars and speeches and talking. And it's a nice icebreaker to say, you know, hey, I joined this industry from time as an Irish step dancer and dancing teacher. And everyone's ears perk up. And then you say, this isn't a performance. And everyone's ears go back down again. Go. But you meet people as an adult and they say, oh, tell me a fun fact about you. Oh, I grew up as an Irish step. Really? Like that guy, like the show where they don't move their arms? You don't have that experience as a kid, right? You just have that experience as it's kind of a weird thing that you do. But I think probably since I was 16 or 17 years old, it's been nothing but positive since that time. It just took a while to get.
Yeah, I think in the struggle for studio owners or even teachers is how to reach younger boys and how to get them stick it out, because it can be a hard sell to be like, hey, you know what, get bullied now, but in a few years it'll be cool. So for me, I try and drive home the like strength aspect of like, wow, like this is going to make you really strong. Like if you do play other sports, it's a nice compliment. You know, we were talking earlier about the Baltimore Ravens football player who takes classes with Carl Drake. Like, you know, it was nice that the, you know, media outlets made a big deal about that, because, you know, here's this guy who definitely doesn't fit the stereotypical, you know, Irish dancer archetype is taking classes to benefit his football. I don't know whether either of you can speak to kind of how you either one-to-one or, you know, in a class of boys kind of get them to stick with it.
I mean, with that in particular, I would say in class now, seeing like a beginner boy come in, I do make sure that I kind of spend a little more time with that boy, just to kind of say, you know, dancing is fun. This is going to be a good time for you. You know, tell your friends about it. I mean, I could picture thinking back, there is one boy at the studio that it was, you know, I felt it was a little hard for him to start dancing. And, you know, him and I had a couple heart to hearts with it. And I see now that he's loving dancing, he's progressing very far, and he's doing a great job with it. But to grabbing the boys and to, you know, keep them into class, I think a great tool is marketing. And, you know, with the day and age we have with social media and everything like that, showing that there are, you know, when you're broadcasting or advertising classes, how you said before, Courtney, putting, you know, boys in the pictures or anything like that, or saying that you have a male teacher, it is that nice little introduction to say, hey, you know, boys do this too. It's awesome. Come and join.
Yeah, because boys do attract other boys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and even if you don't have a male teacher, right, you guys are very lucky in that you've got a very balanced studio. You know, even if you don't have a male teacher, right, to have a teacher who respects the male dancing form and instills that in you. Like I didn't have a male teacher for the first 5 or 6 years that I danced, but there were senior boys around who were quite good. My teachers always encouraged me to watch the more senior male dancers. And those were always good ways to keep you in it, to point to have role models. Whether that be in your studio or, you know, if you're just a teacher trying to engage your students, saying, hey, like, let's go watch the senior men. Let's go watch the boys under 16. Let's go, you know, watch these competitions and look at how powerful and strong they are. Look at how, you know, in some ways you might say masculine.
Yeah, no.
Right? The dancing form can be.
100%.
Right? It doesn't need to be, but if you want it to be, it can be.
Yep.
But I was always lucky to have teachers who encouraged me to see that. And to your point earlier, if you want to check it out on that NFL side, you can Google Alex Collins Irish dancing, and there's a million videos that pop up, some on the field, some in the Carl Drake studio down in Atlanta. Heck, if an NFL player can do it, I think anyone.
Well, kind of like you were saying too, the aspect of having a male teacher. Growing up, I never had a male teacher, but going to competitions, I would always, you know, make friends with all the male dancers. So whenever I would be at a competition, it was always great to see those male dancers there because they were kind of, you know, my role models. And, you know, talking through with them, kind of going over steps, what their perspectives are, you know, how to get through the dancing world in that sense. Kind of how you had said, though, too, watching the senior men's just this year at Nationals when we were there, we had 7 dancers go. And one of the brothers of one of the girls does dance, and he was at Nationals. So I had told him the day before, I said, you know, I want you to meet me in the ballroom at 8 o'clock, you know, ballroom A or whatever it was. And he's like, okay. So him and I sat and we watched the senior men's championship at Nationals. And he, you know, after the Hardshoe round, I asked him, I was like, you know, what are your thoughts? He's like, that was amazing. And I was like, you know, that could be you in a couple years, you know? And after that, all of a sudden his mom started talking to us and saying, like, he's practicing a lot more now. You know, he's really working on his dancing. So it's, I think for him, seeing those dancers and, you know, seeing what he can be, I think, like you said, it just clicked for him. And it, since Nationals, he's been.
Yeah, I think it was very motivating for him.
Yeah. It, before Nationals and after Nationals, it's like night and day with his dancing, I would say.
Agree.
So I'm hearing, like, just even listening to you guys, and obviously you deal with it much more than I do, right? That, you know, in from our own experiences or just from the experiences you have with your dancers, like when it comes to male dance, I hear really it's 3 things, right? It's the community that supports it, whether it be other male dancers or teachers or role model, right? It's a community that supports it, and it's a, you know, to go back to the role models thing, it's an aspiration, right? How do you get them and how do you keep them? You market to them effectively and you make sure that everybody knows that this is for boys, then you've got to have the right encouragement in place to keep them going, to keep them motivated. If you have a male teacher, that's a helpful way to do it. If you don't, who do you encourage them to watch, right? Is it the senior men? Is it other people in the community? But, you know, it's challenging, but it's doable.
Yeah. I mean, it seems that the ones that do stick with it and to stay on, like, look at you guys, or when you walk into a teacher's meeting, it doesn't feel like there's only a few guys in the room. It actually feels fairly equally represented, which is just something interesting. And Ryan, I think you had theorized.
I did. Like, there's an interesting study, and this is way off topic, but there's a study, for example, that hedge fund managers that grew up poor or females who are CEOs tend to outperform males who are CEOs on average, or hedge fund managers that grew up rich. And everyone says, you know, like, well, clearly, you know, there must be something to that. But part of the thing that's to that is it's so much harder to get to that position, to be a hedge fund manager who grew up without privilege, or to be a female who made it to be a CEO. Like, there's enough systemic boundaries in place that if you made it there, you made it there because you're amazing and because you're dedicated and because you're really good, versus other people who had, you know, perhaps more traditional qualifications, you know, might have made it there because they're amazing, or they might have made it there because they started, you know, 20 yards ahead of everyone else. And I get the sense that perhaps males teaching Irish dancing, given that, you know, the average, say, under 20 men's competition is 20 people, and the average under 20 female competition is 160 people or something along those lines. Like, how is it that you end up with a close to 50-50, mm-hmm. maybe 60-40, 40-60 split? Well, it's because, heck, all 20 of those men made it through the more disadvantaged or more challenging environment versus, you know, 100 of the 160 girls, you're right. Some of them really did make it through a gauntlet and others didn't have to.
Yep.
And may not, as a result, have quite that same, like, fire to be a teacher and to bring it to the next generation. And that's okay, by the way. We don't probably need 180 new teachers every year. That might be too many. But that, you know, the fact that so many men who did make it through then stick it out all the way, I suspect is a testament to, if you have to fight that hard to love it, you probably really do love it, you're going to stick around.
But kind of how you were saying before, Ryan, and I bet you can kind of agree with this, being a male dancer, being at any kind of major, you automatically were great friends with those guys backstage.
Absolutely.
In the fact of every major, you would see them. And even if it was only nationals or worlds, you know, you would see your friends from Ireland, England, maybe even Australia, things like that, where all of a sudden you're backstage and you're picking up that conversation just like you left off at the last major. And they all know the world that you're in. And, you know, they're all having the same, you know, instances where they're probably getting bullied back home. But we're all here doing the same exact thing. You know, we're at the World Championships, we're at the North American Nationals, we're at the All-Irelands, whatever it may be. But growing up, we always had those same group of guys. And, you know, whether it was 20, you know, maybe 1 year, I know for instance for myself, my first Worlds, I had 40 dancers in my competition, 40 guys. And then my next Worlds, it was 30. And then it kind of started to go downhill from there. But no matter what, that from my first Worlds to my last, I still remember, you know, my same group of friends being there every single year. So it was always good. And now it's, even when I see them at majors now, it's, we pick up the conversation just like it was yesterday.
Absolutely. And you know what? In the world of social media too, has made it that much easier to sit with all of those individuals around the world. It makes it that much easier to form a community if you can find the community. You know, I definitely think the community starts in the studio. But the beauty of it is, the second you leave the studio, you find an even bigger and bigger and bigger community. The challenge is getting them in the first place. But I have no doubt that teachers can create an environment that gets them. And I don't think it's too many steps forward after that, that you start to realize, like, oh, there's a lot going on here for me. It's just a matter of getting over those three big humps, right? Do boys Irish dance?
Yes.
Right? Then once you're there, do I feel comfortable in this studio? Do I feel like, you know, teachers are supporting of boys in the class? And at a certain level, do I feel like, and in, you know, we may get to this topic in a bit, do my teachers have a sense for how to make me great as a male dancer? Because it is not always exactly the same all the way along the journey. And then, you know, have I met a community and been encouraged to into the community of great around the world?
And I think the only thing I'd add to that is a studio environment where the other dancers, meaning the female dancers, are accepting of the boy dancer too, because I think we're very lucky that a lot of our kids are awesome, but every once in a while you will get a girl in the class who is not as tolerant, and I certainly don't have any time for that. And I think that's a way you could, you know, lose an otherwise very interested, you know, eager potential male dancer is if your other students aren't towing the line too.
Absolutely. It is the environment in the studio that keeps you there.
But I think even just having this conversation, I think I underestimated or didn't even know the depth of the male Irish dancing community. And you guys made a glowing advertisement for it. So I don't know where all the boy dancers are, but if I was a, you know, 5 or 6 year old, I would be jumping at the chance to be part of it.
They're out there, and it's, I guess, up to all of us to find them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
My marketing brain is firing, so hopefully everyone listening to this has theirs on too. And I think that brings us to the, I guess, responsibility and challenge sometimes for teachers that, you know, great, you've attracted all these boys. Great, they're sticking with it. Uh-oh, now how do I choreograph for them? How do I teach them? Because at a certain point, it becomes very apparent that there is a physical difference between obviously girls and boys and what stylistically they should or shouldn't be doing in terms of their steps and all that. So I don't know where we want to start with that, but that's kind of our next topic.
Sure. And I, you know, I've got some thoughts on this, and it obviously at the beginner level, it doesn't make that big. Your hop two threes and your, you know, just fundamental building blocks are going to be the same. But it has occurred to me that it often becomes very apparent by about prize winner.
Yeah, novice or prize winner.
That,
yeah.
That just male and female dancing is stylistically different.
Yeah, I like that wording.
And it's not just as simple as, and look, I've had teachers, and I'm not here to say that anyone did things wrong, but I've had teachers who took the approach that, well, this is our jig step, but there's some toes in it, or this is our real step, and there's some kicks in it, and we're just going to change those, right? We're just going to take the toes out, and we're going to put some rhythm, right? Or we're just going to take that kick out, and we're going to make it into a big front click.
Yeah.
And that serves its purpose until it doesn't, mm-hmm. right? There's almost a natural barrier that you get to, and I notice this particularly when watching, like, say, a rock disc. You know, especially when, you know, among the younger, you do start to notice, you know, hey, I'm not sure that teacher is that comfortable teaching boys. And it becomes a question of, like, well, what makes you say that? Like, well, there's a collection of moves that are common in boys' choreography. There's a collection of moves that are common in girls' choreography. But they don't necessarily just, like, switch. You know, just kind of take out toes and put this in.
Yeah, that doesn't and have it work. Easy.
It's not always, like, swap for swap.
Right.
At some point, you're going to have to start from scratch, and the girls have their choreography, and then the boys have completely separate choreography.
Yes, and that's, and Courtney, you'd probably be maybe even the best person to ask about it. Like, that's an investment for the teacher.
Yeah.
That, I mean, some teachers might want to make, and other teachers might not want to make.
Yeah, and it's something that I deal with as a workshop teacher, because we don't have boys that are in champ at our studio at home, but when I travel and workshop, I have a group of boys that are in championship, all different ages, and I would never even consider using the same choreography that the girls have, because it's just completely different. Like, I don't know how to say it other than how you've said it already, that there is a complete style difference between a male championship competitor and a female championship competitor. Doesn't matter if they're under 10 or senior men.
In a way, it's kind of like they're a different breed. You know, it's doing something completely different. You have to be able to adapt to a male dancer and the fact of knowing what they can or can't do and kind of building off of that. Where you were saying before, Ryan, you know, there's things in a step that are for guys and there are things in a step for girls. You, I think, for a boy dancer, just need to know what those fundamentals are for that dancer, for that boy dancer, for whatever it may be, rhythm, clicks, whatever, but also making it work for them and starting a step completely from scratch to make it work for them.
Absolutely. And I think about a couple of moves like heel spin, right, which are very common in male choreography. They're significantly less common, obviously, right, in female choreography, but they're not that easy. And it can be the case that, like, you make it all the way up into championships before anyone's ever asked you to do that before. Versus, I don't get the sense that you're all the way into championships on the girl's side before, like, you're ever introduced to, like, a fundamental move that's common, right, in step.
Yeah, there has to be, like, a developmental progression into, absolutely, doing those movements.
Right. Like, as things start to get progressively harder and harder and harder, it, especially on the boys' side, can be the case that, like, oh, our boys in championships now, I guess we should go watch the boys' competitions. And, oh, like, here's five or six moves that we should start integrating into steps. Okay, fine. But now you've put that dancer a year or two behind in the ability to, like, progress through those harder and harder movements. Versus the things that, like, there's a very normal course of getting female, yeah, dancers introduced to.
Yes.
It's like a slightly different language or a dialect.
Yeah.
And it becomes, you know, sort of on the teacher, on the studio owner, on the workshop teacher, whoever it is, to go, like, hey, now, like, as our male dancers get into prize winner, or maybe it's when they get into novice, or maybe once they get into preliminary championship, like, now is the time to start adding that vocabulary,
yep,
in.
I was going to use the same word.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's not like we can sit here and give a comprehensive list of, you know, this is for boys, this is for girls. But if someone's not really sure where to start, I know that just even sitting and watching at majors, just sitting and studying what you see. And I think it's very apparent when someone has boy choreography versus girl choreography with swap. And I think the more you start to watch, the more you'll start to see that also, and that's kind of how you can start building what your school's vocabulary of choreography is going to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I know just from speaking from experience, this past Nationals, we sat and watched the senior men's comp, and I was taking a lot of mental notes about it, seeing what, you know, the current trends are for the boy dancers. And agree with, you know, tell me what your thoughts are on this, but I feel after watching the heavy shoe round for any boys championship, we'll just say the senior men's, you know, after I watch their hard shoe, I'm kind of like taking a deep breath. Like, what they're doing on stage is absolutely crazy, going from, you know, a double or a triple click, landing it, and then going right into, you know, heavy rhythm and stuff like that. But you watch them and they're powerhouses. You know, there's energy from the very start to the very end. And I think with a male dancer, that's something that you want to make sure you capture and harness. You know, it's something that honestly, every dancer, I'm not just saying that boy dancers are powerhouses, but it's knowing that having the boys, I feel, tend to have more power than the girls overall in hard shoe in particular. You know, I'm just, like I said, thinking back from that Nationals, watching the competition and seeing just, you know, remembering some of those guys, because not long ago was I dancing on that same stage with them as well. And it's kind of just to see how the dancing has progressed, you know, in the past couple years is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and styles change over time too. So I do agree that right now the style, or, you know, preferred style for boys is kind of more go, go, go. Whereas girls' choreography, I think, has the natural tendency to have a little bit more pause, where it's like, oh, we'll do a couple slides here and like, here, do some couple little pretty steps, you know, to break it up. Whereas the boys don't really have that option.
They don't. And man, do I look on the stage and go, I'm so glad I'm not up there anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, knowing that that is where it is, like, you've got to get your stamina there. You've got to get your technique there. And that's, you know, in a lot of ways, that's going to be on the teacher, on the choreographer, on the team around the dancer to get them to where they need to be. And I think that starts earlier than it maybe started in my own dance. So, if, you know, if I, like, moving ahead, okay, I wish I'd learned these things all the way on when I was learning all of the other fundamental building blocks. And so, you know, this being a podcast for teachers maybe who are or newer or opening a studio or thinking about that, you know, if you want to attract boys, you know, what's the business plan for making sure that they're going to be the best they can be with their unique vocabulary and style? And, you know, have you had the opportunity to take notes and figure that out?
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes it might not be able, you might not be able to provide it. You might have to budget in for a workshop teacher, that maybe you purposely pick a male workshop teacher so that your boys occasionally do have someone who's coming in and knowing, you know, what is appropriate for them to be doing and developing those fundamental skills. And that's okay. You know, not everyone can do every job, and it's perfectly well and good to get help where you need it.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.